Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. Really glad you're listening today. Very happy Wednesday to you. We've got an amazing lineup on Live the Promise today. Really excited about it. First hour, Liz Curtis Higgs joins us. She joins us every month for her featured conversation redemption stories. Oftentimes we draw from her books, Bad Girls of the Bible, Really Bad Girls of the Bible. This time we're going to draw from a different kind of story, and I want to ask you a question before we get her on. Has God ever asked you to do something and to obey him would risk your reputation, would make people wonder about you? Have you ever followed through? How'd that happen? How'd that turn out for you? Well, we're going to talk about one young woman who humbled herself before God and trusted him, even though she would be the subject of gossip and the object of scorn. And that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Nobody unpacks a Bible story like Liz Curtis Higgs, that is for sure. We're going to be drawing from the content from her book, The Women of Christmas. But she gave us three copies of this big, beautiful hardcover children's book that she's written called Parable Treasury. Amazing artwork. Amazing message of God's love. We've got three copies to the first three of you who check in with us today. I'll get Liz on in just a moment. Also, second hour, we've got Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley on to talk about conflict in relationship. And Greg is so funny. He sent me an email saying, we just had a fight the other night and I learned the most amazing thing. Can I come on and talk about it? So I love these two. So they're going to be on second hour talking about what they learned from their recent marriage conflict. And they're always a blast. So that's second hour. Before I get Liz on, a couple of quick, very important announcements. Tomorrow, that's Thursday, is our great giveaway. I'm telling you, we do this every year. And I'm honest to tell you, every year I hold my breath and think, what if nobody calls? But I got to tell you, every year so far, we can't get to all the calls. Because what we're doing, the great giveaway, is mobilizing thousands of you to get out of your comfort zone and engage in a random act of kindness for somebody. If you look on the website for the information, the basic question is, what's the best thing you can do with $15? I'm sending you on a mini mission trip with $15. If you don't have $15 to spend, spend what you have in your hand. If you have more, do that. Maybe you go to a grocery store. You look for a weary mom or dad and step up and pay for their groceries, or go to a coffee shop and pay for somebody's coffee, or get a pie, make a pie, bring it to your neighbor, do something, and then call in. We're dedicating the whole show tomorrow to the great giveaway. It's like you're coming back from the mission field, sharing your stories. Everybody who gets on the air will get some Christmas candy, a gift book off of our Faith Radio shelf. Two of you who inspire us the most will get a great gift basket of goodies, some Faith Radio resources, some Christmas treats. I'm going shopping for that tomorrow. Can't wait. Great giveaway is tomorrow on Thursday. Please don't forget and meet us here at this same time tomorrow. Also, real quick before we get Liz on, is we are partnering with Angel Tree again this year, and we're honored to do that. Angel Tree is an amazing ministry that cares for the children of incarcerated parents. So these parents who are in prison are so distant from their kids. Their kids are so brokenhearted because their Christmas doesn't look like everybody else's Christmas. And Angel Tree ministers to these kids in a way that changes their lives. We hear story after story. $73 will help reach five children with a Christmas gift, the message of the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Let's hear a quick story before we bring Liz on.
Jane Chips of Daniels, West Virginia, shares her own Angel Tree story.
Well, it was Sunday morning, and my husband went on into the sanctuary, and I was waiting around in the vestibule speaking with a few friends, and I walked over to the angel tree, and I picked one off, and I was looking at it, and I noticed that in the time I was standing there that several people had taken this one particular angel off of the tree, had read it, and put it back on the tree. So I turned it over to see, what was about it that nobody wanted to take it. And It was a request from a father for a bicycle for his 12-year-old daughter. And I just turned it back around and went on into the sanctuary and sat down next to my husband, and I was so full of emotion that I couldn't hardly talk. So when church was over, we were still sitting in the pew, and I looked at him and I said, "Tom, I said, you know, we've got a bicycle at our house, and I think that God is trying to tell us that we need to give this particular bicycle to this little girl." And the bicycle had been our daughter, Gary Elizabeth's bicycle. She was 12 years old when we gave it to her for her birthday. And a few months after that, she was killed in a tragic school bus accident. And Tom was so full of emotion, and the tears were rolling down his cheeks, and he said, "No doubt about it, let's do it." So I took that angel off the tree, and we went home and cleaned the dust off the bicycle and took it to the church with the little girl's name on it. Well, a few Sundays later, the church had a Christmas party for the angel tree recipients, and when the little girl got the bicycle, she was so overwhelmed that all she could do was stand there and cry. And of course, she didn't know where the bicycle had come from. We requested that she not be told that it was from us or that we were there, but we just wanted to be there and see the joy that it was going to bring her, because our little girl is very special, and we felt that this little girl must be very special too.
Amazing story. Absolutely amazing story. We're winding down our campaign. I think we've got just about a week left. And help us, if you would, reach 1,200 children this year. That's our goal. It's an audacious goal, but we can do it if all hands are on deck. If you need more information on the great giveaway or on Angel Tree, find them at our website at myfaithradio.com. So let me tell you about our friend who comes on every single month, so she really needs no introduction, but I want to honor all that she's done in her life. Liz Curtis Higgs is a popular conference speaker and the author of nearly 30 books. And Zowie, can this woman write? I'm just saying. She has more than 3 million copies in print, including her best-selling nonfiction titles, The Girl Still Got It, Bad Girls of the Bible, and Really Bad Girls of the Bible, and Unveiling Mary Magdalene. Liz and her family live in Louisville, Kentucky. You can find her influencer page on our website with all of our information there at myfaithradio.com. Dear Liz, welcome back to the program.
Always a blessing to be with you, and I love hearing all the things that you and the station are doing for Christmas. Mm-hmm. This deal tomorrow, where people are going to call and give you testimonies about what happened when they gave away something, I love that.
Oh, thank you.
I love that.
I got to tell you, I'm so sorry. I was going to say, we get people who tell us after they're driving and they pull over because they're crying, because they're so amazed at some of these divine connections by just somebody making themselves available. So thank you for that. We're so excited about it. And
It's such a God thing. It's such a right thing for this time of this year, giving away, thinking about other people. Gosh, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And strangers. Indeed. You know, we all give to each other, which at the end of the day, sometimes I'm like, okay, what did this do exactly for Jesus? When we all who love and know each other gave to those we know and love, it's like, okay, but what you got going, oh, it just makes my heart sing.
Mm, I'm so glad, Liz. Well, tell me this. Is there a verse that you've been camping on lately that you've been thinking about that you can share with us today?
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to cover it today, too. Luke 1:37. Many translations put it many different ways, but I have to say, I love this one. God can do anything. Mm. It's so straightforward. It just lays it out there. God can do anything. Luke 1:37. And other translations say nothing is impossible for God. The NIV puts it as no word from God will ever fail. But there's just something powerful about God can do anything! Exclamation point.
Indeed, and amen. So talk to me about just this time of year for you. You've had some loss in this last year. In the context of that passage, God can do anything. What's going on for you in your faith journey at this time of year? What's it bringing up for you? Anything?
Well, it's funny you would ask that, because if you don't mind me driving down a personal road just for a moment.
Please.
It's been a hard 6 weeks. I had two kidney surgeries I did not expect to have. I lost my brother, John, and I have knee replacement surgery next Wednesday. So, you know, it's just been like a strange time of year for me. So, you know, so there's a lot of loss, and there's a lot of I don't want to say fear, because I really believe that perfect love casts out fear, but perhaps some apprehension. Are you allowed to have that?
Indeed.
You know, anytime somebody comes over you and says, okay, we're going to put you out now, I always say, please bring me back.
Yeah.
and they have twice so far, so we're hoping with the knee thing they will again.
Mm. Wow.
But, you know, you're really putting yourself in God's hands at those moments and saying, Lord, I will not be able to be in control of this, not even a little. So guide the surgeon's hands and calm my heart. And you know what's next for me, Lord. And whatever it is, let it be what you want it to be. And so I've had to lean on him more ever than I can ever remember. And then amidst all of it, the loss of my brother, totally unexpected and just a heaviness. So amidst all that, God has me writing on my blog this season, A Season of Joy. And every week is about joy. And I just giggle because every week he brings me a fresh measure of joy, even in the midst of challenges and what have you. And I'm reminded that's still what this season is about.
Yeah.
And the joy is not about the circumstance ever. The joy doesn't really come because of what's going on or who we know or what our status is in any way, financial status, marital status. None of that is what joy is about. And he's been showing me that, and he's beyond faithful, beyond faithful.
You know, Liz, just listening to you, I'm thinking, you know, there are Christians who sit in the stands, and then there's, you know, who are spectator kind of theater religion. And then there's those on the field actually engaged in playing and getting pushed around and beat up, but also part of the victory. I feel like when you're engaged in the things of God, like you're on assignment always because you're his and you're serious about your faith. When you're put in that position, you're put in a position to have to mine the treasures that are deeper than the surface circumstances. I mean, when I asked about your loss in this last year, I was actually thinking of your mother-in-law. I'm so sorry. I had no idea about your brother.
Right. Well, that was very recent, just last week.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So sorry about that. But all that to say, here you've made this commitment to write about joy on your blog. It forces you not to be carried along by the surface emotions. You have to mine treasures deeper. But don't you think that's partially a benefit of those who are engaged with God and walking him with him in that way?
Absolutely. It's if I'm living in an ivory tower writing about Jesus, I don't even have any fresh water to offer.
Mm.
I think that we can only offer that which we've been through. And it's been interesting to see the comments on the blog. I haven't mentioned the kidney surgery to anybody but you, so don't tell, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people start worrying, you know, it's like, oh my word, I heard Liz has, you know, no, it's fine. It's all fixed. But it was still scary. And so, when these things happen, I've mentioned it just very, very briefly on the blog, but my followers are very smart, and they all said, so you're writing about joy in the midst of pain. And it's like, yeah, because only in the midst of pain can you say with authority, God can do anything. Because I think otherwise your authority is cerebral, but not spiritual. It's not really meaningful. It hasn't been walked out.
Yeah.
And so when stuff happens to me, and you know, I've been walking with the Lord long enough now, and you have too, Susie, when things happen, I immediately now think, okay, Lord, so what are we doing with this? Because it's purposeful. It's always purposeful. And it's not just for my good. It is for the good of others. And I'm grateful that he immediately shows me, yes, Liz, this is not just about you, because life really isn't about you. This is something I'm taking you through, walking through with you, so that you can write about it or talk about it and encourage your brothers and sisters who are in that and can't see their way out. And, you know, that's my calling. That's what I better do. That's the thing. That's why. And so it's a blessing to be able to step through all of this and be joyful.
Mm. And you exude his joy so well. Talking to Liz Curtis Higgs today, when we come back, she's going to unpack the story of Mary. Mary and Joseph, really like nobody else can. We've got 3 copies of her beautiful hardcover children's book, Parable Treasury. Wouldn't this be neat to sit around the tree with your family, maybe your grandkids or your children, and read to them about the love of God? 3 copies to the first 3 of you who get on the air and say hi to Liz. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. hope you're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Liz Curtis-Higgs, who joins us every single month to talk redemption stories. She takes a story from Scripture and brings it to life and applies it to our lives, and we always appreciate her time. Today, we're unpacking Mary and her story, and if you would, let's start here. Give us context, if you would, of both Mary's and Joseph's lives. Let's start there.
Well, let's start with Mary being 12 to 12 and a half years old.
Hard to believe. Wow.
I know. And it took my breath away as I began to research, because, of course, the Bible doesn't give her an age, but it does tell us that she is betrothed to Joseph. So when you find out about how the betrothal works, as soon as a young woman was able to give birth, when she began, as we would say in the South, when she was fixing to start, she would be, at that moment, betrothed. They had chosen a young man, and he would agree to marry her in 1 year. So they remained betrothed for a year, very chaste. She would then stop hanging out with her friends, and she would be very pure and quiet and out of the social swim as she waited for this year before she married her husband. So that puts our dear Mary 12 to 12 and a half years old, certainly no older than 13, but more likely 12. And Joseph, young man, who was obviously an upstanding citizen, someone her parents felt good about engaging her to, a man who worked with his hands, a man who remains very chaste and prepares during that year, builds things for their first home together. In his case, of course, that would be his particular skill as a carpenter. And so so that was the situation. The last thing that you would want to have happen to this young woman is for her to be pregnant out of wedlock. Hmm. It was the worst possible thing for Mary. I want us to think about that, because, of course, it's all joy, joy, joy. She's pregnant. Yay! And in a spiritual realm, knowing the big picture and the big story, it's fabulous. But thinking in terms of a very young girl who knows that the one thing she must do is wait for her husband, to have an angel come to her and say, "You are blessed among women, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus," and of course he goes on and on, he'll be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. When she says, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" she's not asking how will he be exalted and high and, you know, on the throne of David and all. She just wants to know, how exactly am I going to be pregnant? Because this is what she is concerned about. And the angel answers her, and I love that. I love that the angel listens to her question and has an answer for her. What comfort this gives us when we think in terms of what questions can I take to God? Apparently, anything. Anything personal, anything that might seem flippant, he's willing to hear anything. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, Susie, I have to be honest, those words would frighten me, not comfort me. Because what exactly are they saying? The Holy Spirit will come on you? You know, I'd be panicking. What does this mean? Is it going to hurt? Is it going to be scary? The Holy Ghost, you know, when you think of it in those terms, what exactly is going to happen? And the power of the Most High. This girl knew the Most High. We know that because later in her Magnificat, when these words pour out of her, they are straight from Scripture. So this is a young woman who knew the Bible, as it were, the Old Testament, of course, at that time. And so she knew who the Most High was, and he's going to overshadow you. The scholars have struggled with what exactly those words mean in the Greek, and nobody has come up with a real definition of what that means. It's so sacred. It's so mysterious. And, of course, it has only happened once in history. This young woman has this experience. So, he says to her, the Holy One will be called the Son of God, which, of course, tells her, oh, this has nothing to do with Joseph. I'm going to be pregnant, and it will not involve my betrothed. I think it's miraculous that she hasn't fainted at this point.
Exactly.
or run away, or began to cry, or screamed for her mother. I love that the angel, however, he keeps talking, and that's maybe pretty smart. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Now, I bet if we open the phone line, Susie, you would find many, many women with this testimony. I was told I could not have children, and I am now in my fill-in-the-blank month. Mm. God is ever about miracles. That wasn't a one-time thing, a 2,000-year-ago thing. God loves to show up and show off and surprise people who think they cannot have a child. That was the case for Elizabeth. And I love that the angel Gabriel offers her, on the heels of those very spiritual, mysterious words, he offers her a very practical, you can see this yourself, example. Elizabeth, you know her, right? She's going to have a baby. She's 6 months along. Now, I think it's interesting he announces that to her because I doubt Elizabeth and Mary had communicated about this.
Mm-hmm.
She is between 70 to 90, even as much as 100 miles south of Mary. And so, you know, they were not texting and calling. And, you know, it wasn't easy to keep in touch with people. And frankly, nobody was carrying the news, so-and-so is pregnant. That kind of thing was just not discussed. And so, you know, as a message that you would send a messenger with that news. So I believe Mary is finding out that news about her relative Elizabeth right here and now. She's 6 months pregnant.
And God is sending her this confirmation. I mean, just even that to confirm what he's doing in her. We've got about a minute, Liz, before we take a break, but I got to ask you about this. What's the difference? Maybe you have to carry the answer over to the other side. With Zechariah's question, when Gabriel announced that his wife would be pregnant, but he was silenced for asking a question. Why the discrepancy there?
Well, his question was, how can I be sure of them?
Okay, yeah, good.
His question was doubt. All Mary wanted to know was how.
Hmm.
Huge difference between I don't believe it and I believe it, but I just like a few details.
That's perfect. That is extremely helpful. Talking to Liz Curtis-Higgs when we come back. Liz, you had an amazing observation about that the fact that Gabriel chose to appear to Mary first. I want you to unpack that when we come back. If you've got questions about this story, even if you need to call anonymously, we're happy to have your call. And if you're too shy to get on the air, Grace will translate your question for us, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening. Talking to our good friend Liz Curtis-Higgs, who joins us every single month for Redemption Stories. She just set up before the break the context of Mary and Joseph betrothed to Joseph. And so for a year, she would remain hidden and stay pure. And so imagine, as Lizzie said, of course, just at the outset, the idea of you're bearing the Christ child. We know the big story, so we would be excited about it. But in her little world, the worst thing in the world would be for her to get pregnant. Liz is going to speak to the whole idea of Gabriel speaking to Mary first before Joseph. There's something significant about that. We've got a caller, and I want to get this caller's, Lizzie's amazing hardcover children's book, Parable Treasury, but she's got a question today. 877-933-2484. Harriet's checking in from Lake Park, I believe. Harriet, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yes, I got so excited. I'm hardly ever home during the day to hear your program. Mm-hmm. I work and I'm busy with a Bible study. And I heard you say the author's name, and I ran and got my book that I got from my son for Christmas last year by her, The Women of Christmas.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
And he gave it to me because about 4 or 5 years ago, before our little country church closed, I had the privilege of writing the Christmas play that year, and I based it on Anna. And she's always been a blessing to me. I'm a widow now. Just really been so blessed. And when I got that book and then heard your name today, I just had to call. I got so blessed listening to you and Susie. And even though you aren't talking about Anna yet, I got in on it, and I'm getting that book out again.
Oh, I love Anna's story. She is incredible. Just a blessing.
Well, Harriet, thank you for calling, and you're going to enjoy The Parable Treasury. I'm going to send you Liz's children's book. It's fantastic. Okay, this was so interesting in your book. You were writing about the significance of Gabriel's choice to appear before Mary. Explain why that's so significant.
Well, you know, we do have an angel who will appear to Joseph later, unnamed angel, so perhaps not Gabriel, maybe it was. But the fact is, Gabriel went to Zechariah, not Elizabeth. And that, because of course Zechariah was going to be this doubting Thomas, as it were, and that was very purposeful. And in the same way, he had great purpose by going to Mary first. It is proof to us how much God values women. He chose this young woman not because she was unique. Mary was unique because God chose her. And, you know, I always think it's important that the emphasis in the Christmas story, as much as we adore Mary and the role that she plays, it's still all about Jesus. It's still about him. He is, as it were, the star of this story. But isn't it lovely that God used not one, not two, but three women to usher his son into the world? First, Elizabeth's birth of John, who we would then know as John the Baptist. Then Mary's birth of Jesus and her nurturing and raising him. And then Anna, as our friend caller pointed out, Anna, who is the one who proclaims that the Messiah has come. God used women. And I just have to say this, and I hope it offends no one. But what's interesting to me is that the men in these stories, Zechariah has his voice taken away. Joseph never has a spoken word in Scripture. And Simeon, though he does hold the baby and says, yay, now I have seen the Messiah and I can die, he is not the one who carries the news. It's Anna. If ever there were a story in Scripture that puts to rest the sin of Eve, it's this one. It's God saying, women, I have a purpose for you. I love you. I trust you with my good news. I trust you with the rearing of my son, the birthing of my son. I trust you to do the right thing. Mm. And for me as a woman, it's just pretty exciting.
Indeed. So, so much so. Love this. You also said, in the same way, while we go about our daily tasks, God's divine plan is unfolding. At any given moment, our lives could change dramatically. No surprise to God, yet a big surprise to us. Say more if you would.
Right, because I think we often are so wrapped up in the physical, what's happening visually, tactilely, is that a word?
Yeah.
That which we can touch.
Yeah.
We're so wrapped up in what's happening in front of us, what we're hearing and seeing and tasting and smelling and all of that, in the senses, that we forget about what's going on in the spiritual world because we can't see it or feel it. So, you know, we just forget it's going on. But there was a perfect timing, of course, to this story. I also want you to think about the fact that when Mary heard that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, she would know, of course, that this was the Messiah. And Jewish women had been waiting centuries for one of them to give birth to the Messiah. They knew it was going to happen, that someday a woman would give birth to the Messiah. And, you know, surely every woman who married thought, well, it could be me. And now Mary knows it is me. Imagine that. She had no preparation. She had nobody telling her all growing up, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one. Well, we don't either. We don't know what God has for us next. But we know that it's good. We know that it is for our good and for the good of all. And so we can kind of stand on tiptoe and say, Lord, what have you got next?
Hmm.
Sometimes it is hard things, by the way. It isn't always what we would call an earthly blessing. With the surgery that I went through, I had some really ugly things happen that I wouldn't describe to anybody. Even Bill said, TMI, too much information, Liz, I don't want to know.
Hmm.
So I will tell no one. But they were hard. And Yet in it all, you know, God says, look, I'm with you. Do you sense that I'm with you? You're not alone. This won't last forever. It's going to be okay. I've got this. And those moments, those intimate moments with God are irreplaceable. There's no other way to go through them except to go through them.
Yeah. Tom Yakeley from Navigators said in his book that being a Christian doesn't promise us the world's best, but it definitely promises us heaven's best, God's best.
Yeah.
And that's such a good way to put it, because in this world we will have trouble. And I have such a problem with the message or the quote-unquote gospel that preaches that it should always be, you know, you should always prosper in every way. And you look at how Jesus lived. You look at our persecuted brothers and sisters who are faithful till the end. You know what? And Scripture talks about the world wasn't even worthy of that, you know, them.
Right. Not even worthy.
Yep. To step back and get a bigger perspective. You know, talk about this any day now thing that you're talking about, though, that God can come onto an ordinary scene and do something extraordinary. And I was thinking as I was prepping today, Liz, how some orient their lives towards looking for signs, and that can send them on a wild goose chase. Everywhere they're looking, they're following signs versus maybe following Jesus, and because maybe they're sensational in the way that they're doing things. But on the other hand, others may tend to swing the other way, and they live with no expectancy. And so I want you just to speak to that, a healthy balance, if there's lack of a better phrase, but how do we cultivate such a heart that contentedly stewards the now, humbly so, while believing that absolutely anything is possible?
Yeah, God can do anything.
Amen.
We're back to Luke 1:37.
Yes.
Wow, that's a great question, and I hope I have an answer that will come from him on that. I walk that line that you're talking about. I stand ready for miracles to happen, okay? I am open to that. I'm open to a sign, but I am careful about not calling everything a sign. Even Jesus said, oh, this generation, they always want signs. And so there can be a real danger in over-identifying. But you know what? I'd almost rather over-identify than ignore. Mm. Because if you're giving God the glory for it, like, how could that be bad?
Right.
And we know that the word coincidence, for example, is not in the Bible. It's not in there in any translation. It's not in there. Nothing happens outside of the will of God, and nothing happens that is a surprise to God, but it sure enough is a surprise to us. And so I think when stuff happens, I think it's a chance to say, Lord, if that's you, show me what you want me to see in this. And I think he's very faithful about that. I'm determined in 2016 to do a better job of scripture memorization. And I think one of the reasons why is because when we have his word written on our heart, he can use it, he can point to it inside us to show us a truth. He will bring it to mind. I love when scripture just comes to mind. And it won't come to mind if it's not written on the mind. Hmm. And of course, you can carry your Bible and always have it and all of that. But something about writing it on your heart, writing it in your mind, having it tucked in that safe place, it gives God an additional thing to use to speak to you, because it's tucked inside your heart. And so with that word there, with an awareness of the Holy Spirit in us, which is, again, something some people are very comfortable about talking about. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit, yes, he lives in me. And other people, that whole third part of the Trinity makes them nervous, and they just kind of avoid talking about him. So I think, again, it's that fine balance between, you know, putting everything in the spiritual realm and forgetting that there are things we have to do in the present here and now. That fine line, you know, people who are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go there, but I would rather err on the side of looking for examples of his grace, giving him the glory when I see it, finding ways to honor him, praise him, give him credit for things that other people might say, oh, well, that was lucky. It's like, no, luck has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Mary certainly wasn't lucky. She was chosen. Big difference.
Totally. And you think, I think it's in Ephesians where it says, you know, may the eyes of your heart open up, and that, you know, he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can know the things freely given us by God. So there is a realm that if we live too earthbound, Another one, I think it's 1st or 2nd Peter. It says he's given us these very great and precious promises so we can participate in the divine nature. So there is a kingdom way to walk while we live on this earth. But you're so right. If you swing to one extreme or the other, you miss the essence of, I think, what God has offered us. And I want you to talk about Mary's grit and courage to say, be it unto me according to your... I marvel when I think of really 12 or 13 years old and... but smart enough to know the implications of what she's going to be facing in the days to come. I marvel. I would have curled up in a ball and cried. I just don't, that would have been so scary. Talk about her courage, but that's a necessary element, Liz, for walking out the brave will of God, you know?
Absolutely. Well, the word that he gives her just before she humbles herself is that for no word from God will ever fail. Mm. God can do anything. That's the angel Gabriel's kind of closing statement to her, and now it's her turn to speak. And first, she humbles herself. I am the Lord's servant. She saw her role. She didn't have any more questions. She didn't need more information. I don't know if she honestly had time to march through all the possible implications. You know, we usually don't in a moment like this. But what we do is we act upon the faith that we have, and Mary was full of faith, full, overflowing. She is, in essence, a child, and we all know how children trust and believe to a level that most of us as adults aren't there anymore. Mm. We want to be, but we're not. We're jaded. We've seen things come down. We've had disappointments, and so the ability that we have as adults to believe absolutely that God can do anything, for us, it's hard. But for Mary, this child, innocent, pure, raised in a godly home, knew the word of God, knew the one who was calling to her, she could say, I am the Lord's servant. So first comes humility, and then comes honesty and faith. May your word to me be fulfilled. Now, she can say that because remember what he just said is, no word from God will ever fail. So she said, okay, then may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So his work was done. Her work was done. This conversation is so short when you look at it. I mean, I you know, if you acted it out on a stage, time-wise, I don't think it would take more than about 2 minutes. And yet in that time, she has stepped into eternity in a way that actually none of us will ever be asked to do what she did. But we are asked to be as courageous as she was. And faith is the element there. That's the big thing. It's not about her goodness. It is, you know, she was a human being. It is about her faithfulness. And, of course, God is the one who filled her and chose her. Somebody said to me on Facebook, I guess, or maybe on the blog, what if Mary had said no? And to me, that's a crazy question to ask. Well, not crazy, but it's obvious God chose her because he knew she would say yes. Mm-hmm. God did not hold his breath. Angel Gabriel wasn't thinking, well, this might not go well. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew how this was going to roll out, except, of course, Mary. For her, it was a genuine decision of faith. But for all those, you know, in the heavenlies, they knew that it wasn't a choice of we have plan A, plan B, or plan C here. Mary was the plan. She was always the plan. It was never going to be anybody else, and she would never have said no.
Talking to Liz Curtis-Higgs, when we come back for our last segment, we're going to talk about that element of joy and sorrow that is always mixed with this kind of a plan. You think about Mary's raising Jesus, and he died on the cross, but then he rose again. You think about Elizabeth, who was barren, gave birth to John, and how John ended. But he really, he's with God in eternity. I mean, our stories are like that on earth, but the greater glory is yet to be revealed. We're going to talk about that, how that applies to you, just walking out your call, knowing that this is how it goes, but God is good, and his promises are true. 877-933-2484. We'll be back with Liz Curtis-Higgs in just a moment.
Sorry, man, you
You know, it's a perfect time of year to stop striving and know that He is God. That's Psalm 46:10. Cease all the striving, especially in those areas of soul unrest. Push pause. Look up and remember afresh that He is God. Nothing is impossible with Him. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friend Liz Curtis Higgs. And Liz, for this last 8 minutes or so that we've got together, I want you to, you know, I'm going to devote next Monday's show to taking calls to say, tell me what kind of year it was for you. What are you taking with you into 2016? Are there verses that you hung on to? We'll play some songs and that kind of a thing. But this was quite a year for us. Tough, tough year. But there's so many treasures in those hard, heartbreaking places. I'm richer for it. And I think you'd probably say the same thing, looking back, you know, a year ago, looking ahead, going, I had no idea what I would be facing.
Oh,
but
boy.
I am still standing, and God is more faithful than I realized. Just speak to that dynamic of life on earth with God's promises, but the problems that we face in this world.
Yeah, I have to say that 2015 was a very hard year in many ways, and a very joyous year in other ways. And that is exactly how it's meant to roll out. I think if we had a year in which nothing went wrong, everything was perfect, and honestly, judging by people's Christmas letters, you would think that's the year they had.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I want somebody to send me an honest letter that says,
exactly,
February just stank, top to bottom, was a horrible month. Or whatever.
My son didn't get into college. We applied 20 places. He's still
exactly
on the couch. Anyway, yeah.
Yes, exactly. But in the Christmas letters, we only do the highlights and we only do the positive things because that's how we want to be seen. We want to be seen as having it all together. You know, I'm getting weary of that as the years go by. I love your question of how was your year and leaving it open to be, it was a hard year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll get some of that, as well as people who had good years. And I love knowing people who've had good years because that gives me hope for 2016. You know, so we do need to encourage one another when things have gone well. But I think if we're really to be the body of Christ to one another, we share the whole picture, the good and the bad, the strong and the weak. And in both cases, whether it's good or bad, we're going to turn to God for answers. If it's good, we better turn to Him, give Him credit, and remain humble. You know, God said to Mary, you know, your favorite among women, but Mary doesn't go, woo-hoo, look at me, I'm Sandra Dee. You know? We don't see her dancing around saying, you know, to all her friends, well, you know, here's who I am in Jesus. You know, here's who I am. We just don't, she never, ever pulls that off. And even when she sings her Magnificat, she's singing the words of God. The glory goes to Him, not to her. So when things are good, it's a chance to praise God. And when things are bad, it's a chance to praise God that He's getting us through it. I'm grateful we don't know what's next. Aren't you grateful?
So very much so.
I mean, really, sometimes we think, oh, I just wish I know. We do not want to know. We don't want to know. We'd lose all hope if we knew. And we'd lose that on our tiptoes feeling of what's next. I think living in anticipation instead of dread is the way to go. And I think the Scripture calls us to that. This week's blog I wrote about Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, that's who He is. He's the God of hope. He is the creator of hope. If we are in Him, His hope is in us. Hope is the most delicious word to me in Scripture because it captures everything. It captures our faith. It captures where we are with Him, where our trust level is. Hope is just, it is not the thing with feathers, as the poet said. Hope is not the thing with feathers. Hope is rock solid. Hope is what you stand on when you stand on tiptoe and look to see what's next. Obviously, we love when it's been a good year, but we learn when it's been a hard year. That's where the growth comes. That's where the learning comes. The learning never comes on the mountaintops. The learning always comes in the valleys. And so the mountaintops are there to keep us going, to give us a glimpse of what's coming, to let us be close and in His presence. But in the valleys is when we're aware of His footsteps next to ours.
Such good insight, Lizzie. And we got a couple minutes before we pray here, but when you look at Mary's life and Is there any takeaway that you just feel inspired to just give to us today as we look at the tumultuous times? I mean, Jesus wasn't born into a peace-filled time of life. I mean, there was war in the streets, so to speak. I mean, there was government oppression and things like that. So I want you to maybe, what can we learn from her and just take with us into this current season?
This woman, this young girl, really, shines with her virtue and her innocence and her faith and her trust in God. Even in the midst of a world that she didn't understand, it was at her age, she probably knew very little of the big picture, the big political picture of what was going on with Rome and all of that. She was a young girl who went about her day like all her friends did until God said, "You, I have a special plan for you." God looks at us in the same way. He looks at us as ordinary as the day is long and says, "I have a special plan for you." What's remarkable is that he does, in fact, have one for every one of us that has as much potential to change the world around us as Mary's did. But often we think of ourselves as small, insignificant, not worthy, not offering anything, not leaving any kind of footprint, not making much difference. And that's because we're thinking about ourselves. If you think about God and what he can do, has done, and will do, past, present, and future, you can begin to catch a glimpse of what he has for you, and believe me, it is good.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. This is always such a treasure time for us, Liz. We appreciate you giving the time out of your busy schedule. As we wrap up, would you just pray for each of us and our listeners as well that we would make room to hear from God today, to get some marching orders, to get a sense of maybe what needs to go, what we should leave behind in 2015, what we should take with us into this next year. Would you pray for us?
Oh, I'd be honored. You know, one of the songs we sing is "Let Every Heart Prepare Him Room." And I think often we are more like when Mary and Joseph came and they said, "There is no room." Sometimes we don't make room for him. We make room for everything else about Christmas, the shopping, the cooking, the eating, the packing, the wrapping, all of that. And we forget to make room for Jesus. So, my friends, I'd encourage you this year, we still have 10 days left. This year, make it about him. And of course, the beauty of Jesus is we celebrate him every day, not just December 25th, every day, every year. We celebrate his birth, his death, and his resurrection every day. So I hope that's that kind of day for you, where you honor him, think about him, turn to him, count on him, believe in him, and trust him. Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen. What a beautiful blessing. Liz, have a precious holiday season. We'll look forward to connecting with you, Lord willing, next month.
Yeah, I'll be talking to you with a new knee, girl. Can't
wait. All right, I can't wait. I wonder how that's going to impact the show. God bless you, dear one.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, my conversation with Liz will be up on podcast at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to check out Angel Tree and the great giveaway when you're there. Coming up next now for Hour 2, my friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley join me to talk about an important element when you're kind of going at it with your spouse, when you're in conflict. You got to have this element if you want to come through that conflict richer, better, and on the same team. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.